In the chiropractic profession, it's a proper functioning spine and nervous system is essential to human health and performance. We believe that when you're functioning well, when your nervous system is functioning free of interference, free of obstruction, your coherence and your adaptability to the things that matter, the things that stress us in our lives, allows you to function at a higher level. We really feel like that is kind of a good centralizing, catalyzing statement that we can all get behind. It allows for everyone to exist under this umbrella, and the public, where it matters the most, is best served when you've got people that are coming from various diverse practices, not speaking ill of each other, not speaking ill of how another one practices, but helping to understand and recognize where their strengths are. I think that's how brothers and sisters of chiropractic can unify and start to come together in an effort to help humanity.
This is the Chiro Inspired Podcast, where chiropractors come to learn, to be empowered, and to be inspired. I'm your host, Dr. Richard Letta. Hello, and welcome to the Chiro Inspired Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard Letta. Thank you all for being here, tuning in, giving me your ear, giving me your headspace. It is always an honor to have you join me on this mission to unite the profession while we respect the diversity and honor the principles which it was founded upon. Today, I'm joined by my friend, Dr. Craig Hazel, who you might have heard back in episode 91, where we spoke about advancing and building upon the big idea within chiropractic with an organization that he's heavily involved with, and that being the Alliance for Chiropractic. Today, our discussion revolves around centralizing chiropractic around a catalyzing message. And I use the word centralizing in a sense of something that all chiropractors can talk about on a common level when speaking to the public. And I understand that there's much diversity within chiropractic in the sense of techniques, practice management, perhaps even ideologies if you want to go there. But in today's conversation, Dr. Craig and I tried to zero in on what a centralizing message could be for our profession. And once again, Dr. Hazel joined me back in episode 91, and I have him here again to help us gain some clarity as to what we can be promoting to the public when it comes to chiropractic care. So if this is an episode that you enjoyed, maybe you learned something or may have thought differently, let us know by taking a screenshot and sharing this on any social media platform that you are on. Remember to tag me at Dr. Letta and at Chiro Inspired, and also tag Dr. Craig Hazel, as well as the Alliance for Chiropractic. If you found value in any of the episodes and would like to continue to stay on top of current episodes that come out on a monthly basis, remember to subscribe. And if you have not already, please leave a rating and review for this podcast. Those help me so much in getting the word out there, and it also gives me feedback as to what you are enjoying with this podcast as I continue to produce this on a monthly basis. If you would like to connect also with doctors who are like-minded and want to promote chiropractic to a wider population amongst the public, then please remember to join the Chiro Inspired community on Facebook, which is free. There's not much that happens in there, but what you get are the live episodes right away, and also any updates from me regarding the podcast. This is simply just a community to get like-minded individuals together where you can share your thoughts in a space where hopefully you will find individuals who are willing to help. And I can almost guarantee that there will be someone. Now, if you would like to connect with me, I always welcome it. If you would like to connect with Dr. Craig Hazel, I'm sure he welcomes it too, as he is a big advocate for chiropractic and getting the word out there to the public. He's been doing a lot of advocacy for the profession, both behind the scenes and as a face for the Alliance of Chiropractic, and also CNAC, which is the Canadian National Alliance for Chiropractic. And if you would like to connect with those organizations more, I'll have some links below for you. But otherwise, I thank you all for being here once again. Now please help me welcome my awesome guest, Dr. Craig Hazel. Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Cairo Inspired Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard Letta, and today I'm rejoined by a phenomenal guest, probably too smart for me, and probably works even harder than me at trying to create some change, or at least empower people to get moving, perhaps maybe on a political scale. I'm joined by Dr. Craig Hazel. Dr. Craig, welcome back to the show, man. It's good to see your beautiful bald head again. And it's good to see that smile of yours. How are you doing, man?
Thank you, Richard. I'm doing great. You know, I'm actually going to go back and replay what you just said over and over again subliminally, so that when I'm sleeping, I'm going to just re-empower myself to think good and higher of myself. So that's awesome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, it's a pleasure. We've kind of gone back and forth of trying to get you back on here, because I think it's fair to say that you've been a major player in on a political level with chiropractic and what we're trying to do with this sort of message that we're trying to get out to the world, to the public. And you know, I just listened to your podcast again today to just refresh in on what we spoke about last time, and that was sort of a centralizing message or a catalyzing message that you spoke about, and we'll dive back into that. But you know, Dr. Craig, there's going to be listeners that have not tuned into our last episode. You know, for them, who are you, and currently what are you doing with, you know, not only your practice but any associations that you're affiliated with?
Okay. So I am a chiropractor, and I'm a husband, I'm a father, and you know, I practice here in Ottawa, Ontario, in a town just outside of Ottawa called Kanata. And I've been in practice now for 17 years next month. I can't believe it. Wow. Graduated from Parker in 2004. I had an unbelievable experience at Parker while I was there. That was kind of the high times when Dr. Fab Mancini was at the helm. Many, many conversations in Dr. Fab's office on a regular basis, you know, talking about everything from chiropractic to life to just, you know, how to manage and navigate practice when you're done school, and just everything in between. Just became a good friend of mine. And, you know, chiropractic has done so much for me in my world and in my life. It's come a long way. And I think I spoke about that in the last podcast. You know, when I was a teenager, I was constantly sick with sinusitis and bronchitis. I was struggling for about 2.5 years with post-concussion syndrome after, I think at the time, was my 8th concussion at that point, through sports and other things. And chiropractic turned my life around. And I decided at that moment that I wanted to pursue a career in chiropractic. And, you know, it's been an awesome ride ever since, the 17 years that I've been a chiropractor. I love what I do. I love going to the office. I love adjusting. I love communicating the value of chiropractic care, but I also love just helping people to realize how incredible their bodies are and how they can heal inherently from the inside out. And never, you know, never has there been more an important time to discuss that with people in the community than now. You know, I find that society has become very anxiety-ridden, very drug-dependent, and very misguided in terms of where health comes from, how they get it. And they've lost some trust in their ability for their bodies to heal. And so, you know, our message in our office right now is really strong on those concepts, just about empowering people to understand just how the inherent recuperative abilities of their bodies to heal naturally without drugs, without, you know, interventions, has a huge impact. And so we have a lot of fun doing that. COVID has definitely changed the game a little bit. You know, obviously you got to make modifications and some of the restrictions that you have in practice, but even through it all, we're still carrying a strong ADIO message, making sure that people in our practices, you know, they understand exactly what they need to do in order to heal and function at the highest level that they possibly can. So that's me in a nutshell.
It's a big nutshell.
I'm just loving it. Right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, you well, spoke...
I was going to say, like, on the political side, you know, I've been the AFC, the Alliance for Chiropractic of Ontario. I've been a director now for almost 7 years, and I've been the chairman and president for the last 4 years. And we've seen a lot of changes. We've seen a lot of things happen in chiropractic in the last, in the last 3 or 4 years, especially, that has led to a lot of fantastic changes in favor of the profession. And I think it has become stronger for it. You know, we've had some conflicts, and as BJ used to say, conflicts clarify. And I think that we've done a really good job of assembling a mass number of people within this country to get focused on what we do great. And that is a simple truth that the body heals better when it's free of nerve interference. And we remove those obstructions and we just allow their bodies to adapt better. So through that, you know, we're going to probably talk and dive into quite a few of those changes that have happened in this last 3 or 4 years. So,
yeah, you know what? So let's start with that. Cause it makes me actually really curious to see what, like from your lens and what you've been involved with, what have been some of those major and crucial changes that have occurred in that, on the political side of things within the profession.
You know what, excuse me, I think it starts back to, that would have been October, probably about the spring of 2018. Mm-hmm. We started to see some of the news articles coming out on a, 4 to 6 week cycle that were taking some serious, libel shots at the profession. And it was a kind of private conversation that I had with Brandy McDonald, and just said, you know, I think there's more of us out there than we think, and let's just see what we can find out. So we created a Facebook page, and within a few weeks, we had garnered over 1,000 people in the group. And that started to initiate the conversation about, you know, shining a light out into the darkness and trying to find out who else is out there that thinks the way that we do, and who else is frustrated with the direction in which the profession is being steered. The narrative that is being spoken to within some of our teaching institutions and some of the associations that were active. And so we started to build an allegiance of a bunch of like-minded chiropractors that really wanted to see the diversity within the profession be upheld, to see the unity start to become bonded around some centralizing messaging, and really started to create what then became the Canadian National Alliance for Chiropractic. Which was born out of this whole idea is like, let's find like-minded people. Let's celebrate the profession as it is. Let's recognize, all the positives that we have within the profession. Let's focus on what it is that makes us more the same than different. And let's start there. Let's start to incorporate and encourage people to join an organization and an allegiance that is going to be focused on trying to better the profession while respecting the rights of each individual chiropractor to practice as they wish. And that's kind of what led to the Canadian Alliance, National Alliance for Chiropractic. And we've fortified, our focus here in Ontario with the Alliance for Chiropractic. And it's just begin, it's started a tribe. It really has. It's created a tribe. It's created a group of individuals that are on the path to success. So, mm-hmm.
And I've been part of that sort of, that unfolding of this sort of movement, if you will, of like-minded individuals that want to come together. They saw an issue, they saw a problem, and they wanted to just create a solution, because clearly it wasn't going the right direction that, we sort of wanted, and that didn't really represent our school of thought, or maybe our message. And there's one message that you like to, I guess, sort of promote, Dr. Hazel, and it's a centralizing message, or like you said, a catalyzing message for the profession. And now, for those listeners that don't know what that is, what is that message for them?
And then it's actually, I was taught this by Rick Sapio, who is an incredible business entrepreneur down out of the United States. He's a great friend of Patrick Gentempo. And Rick had taught that a catalyzing statement is that statement that unifies your mission, your vision, and your purpose collectively together. So for instance, Microsoft's was, we want to have a personal computer in the home of every single house in the world, right? That was their catalyzing statement. Mm-hmm. In the chiropractic profession, it's a proper functioning spine and nervous system is essential to human health and performance. We believe that when you're functioning well, when your nervous system is functioning free of interference, free of obstruction, your coherence and your adaptability to the things that matter, the things that stress us in our lives, allows you to function at a higher level. And I don't think there's too many chiropractors out there that would disagree with that statement. And it doesn't matter where you are on that spectrum, right? If you are, say, musculoskeletal, or if you are more neurological focused, we look at that as a Venn diagram. And, you know, if you talk about a continuum, well, there's a large group that kind of want to focus more on the musculoskeletal side. There's a large group that want to focus more towards the kind of neurological side. And then there's a whole collective of us that see and help a lot of folks that kind of exist in both camps, right? Or both, both, you know, I don't even like that term, by the way, but both distinct focuses, we'll say. Okay. So, you know, whether you're an MSK person, a proper spine and nervous system is essential to human health and performance. If you're taking an athlete that is looking to optimize their performance in a track event, well, guess what? Making sure they're well adjusted, that they're subluxation free, their nervous system is functioning well, is going to help that athlete perform, recover, and have longevity within their career. If you're talking about somebody that is trying to recover from a significant traumatic brain injury or having some other kind of challenge neurologically, guess what? A proper functioning spine and nervous system is critical to helping that individual to recover and optimize their health and human potential. So we really feel like that is kind of a good centralizing, catalyzing statement that we can all get behind. And then it doesn't matter where you are. If you want to do kind of more adjunctive therapies in conjunction with your chiropractic adjustments, so be it. That's terrific. But just make sure that that nervous system is clear before that patient comes off that table. And similarly, if all you want to do is check and adjust where necessary, hey, have like, that's fantastic. That's what I do. So, it allows for everyone to exist under this umbrella, and the public where it matters the most is best served when you've got people that are coming from various diverse practices, not speaking ill of each other, not speaking ill of how another one practices, but helping to understand and recognize where their strengths are and allowing that individual, the public member, to experience health at the highest level that they possibly can. And if you're not the right person for that specific person, guess what? My friend down the street take great care of you because they are going to, they practice in kind of what you're looking for. I think that's how brothers and sisters of chiropractic can unify and start to come together in an effort to help humanity.
You know, I, as you were speaking, it kind of just spurred me to look at another change that I noticed even just recently. And I saw this with Deed Harrison. He posted where the Federation of Chiropractic Licensing Boards in the U.S. and Canada have actually included these three main ratifications, and one is nerve function and interference as part of subluxation is ratified. Radiographic imaging of patients as a doctor's clear choice was ratified, and also subluxation as a term, because I think you've seen it. You've been in this profession long enough, Dr. Craig, where you know, you've seen sort of, I guess, the back and forth, the arguments, the conflicts like you were talking about, and how even just the subluxation, the term subluxation was being really vilified and criticized. And I guess it's fair to say that it's fair to do, like, criticizing this component of our of healthcare or of chiropractic. And it actually just makes us better at being able to maybe research it, explain it, and, you know, promote it. So, like, maybe you can comment on that. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yes, I did see that that statement. I thought it was terrific. I hope that it becomes incorporated and accepted by a number of different teaching institutions. I hope that it starts to become accepted and incorporated in the research realm. You know, I think that when we look at some of the tools that we have as chiropractors, you know, things like radiographs is an invaluable use for a clinical objective indicator that allows us to be able to take care of practice members, right? And I think that if you were to ask the public, most of the public are very appreciative of the fact that we have access to those types of objective indicators for the purpose of care delivery. You know, I on the one hand, and the counter argument that I commonly hear is using x-rays in an inappropriate manner for the purpose of perpetuating case, you know, a patient's care I always say, like, you know, the thing that we at the AFC are big on is leadership, accountability, and integrity. And of course, if you're not using objective indicators and you're not doing so if you're doing so without integrity, well, I can see the challenge there, right? But we're talking about a small faction of any profession that can kind of muddy the waters for many folks. But when you're delivering care at the highest level that you possibly can with a high level of integrity through a leadership and accountability, guess what? The public wins, and that's what we're here for, right? We're here to help our communities experience health at a higher level. We are trained as doctors of chiropractic in the use of radiographs, in the use of SEMG and thermography. And we're trained to use these tools to deliver care at the highest level that we possibly can. And we are trained and by oath to use it in a judicious manner. Therefore, why not allow us to have the ability to utilize those tools to the highest level of that we possibly can without restriction
We can kind of backpedal a little bit. And so why do you think there was this sort of shift in denying the term, or even just, you know, heavily criticizing the term subluxation? Like, because I was sort of entering school. If people viewed my lens of chiropractic at the time when I was entering school, they would have thought I was a mixer. Or they would have, depending on which spectrum where you were at, you would look at me as maybe a mixer, or you would look at me as a super straight, crazy quack. So, and then I went to school, I'm like, I was sort of actually in the middle, in my opinion. And have these people on the extreme sides, saying different things. And so that was actually my first exposure to this sort of dichotomy, if you will, or false dichotomy, as Dr. Anker Tayal would say. So I saw it, and then, you know, getting into practice, I noticed it more. But then as I got more into practice, I felt like it was getting a lot more heated, as, you know, obviously the world on a political level was getting a lot more divided. You might have these two political parties. And it got very heated because of social media, and that didn't help. But even now, I'm feeling that in chiropractic. Like, so maybe we can backpedal and say, like, you know, where did this first start? Why did subluxation become under fire?
That's a great question. A couple of thoughts. One is, I believe it was in the late 90s, if not the early 2000s, when subluxation, the profession had been polled as a whole. And I think it was about 82% of people accepted the term subluxation as a viable construct kept within the chiropractic profession. And I want to say that there was another poll that was done, it's got to be less than 2 years now, and I'd have to look into that. But again, it still maintains that about 78, almost 80% of chiropractic practitioners believe that subluxation is a valid construct for the purpose of care delivery. So I'm not really sure, kind of, you know, there's a lot of noise being made by certain chiropractors about the term, using it as a historical construct or a context. I'm a big believer that our history is so rich and diverse that it allows us to understand kind of how far we've come. And I do not think that we should be throwing that out by any means. I think that we should celebrate it. I think we should understand it. I think we should learn from it. But in order for the profession to move forward, we still need to continue to take what we own and is unique and specific to the chiropractic profession and carry it forward with us as we learn and diversify and understand new technologies that allow us to give better delivery of care. So, you know, when it comes to the subluxation, I think there are certain that would think that it doesn't exist, that it is a false construct that is steeped within religion and the concept of some sort of magical, mythical type of phenomenon. And I think, you know, if you go back and you think, like, in 1895 to early 1900s, vitalism and the concept of a energy force that was in individuals was at the peak of its understanding for humanity, right? Like, that was one of the most predominant philosophies that most medical doctors and health practitioners lived by. They didn't understand because they didn't have the technology, and we didn't have as great of an understanding of the human body as we do now, right? Mm-hmm. But I think along the way, as we start to develop this thing called chiropractic, and now we're starting to see just how incredible Didi and BJ were in terms of their understanding of what's going on with a chiropractic adjustment. And then we've got folks like Heidi Havoc, and we've got, you know, just some of the work that she's doing, but some of the others like Monique Andrews and Bernadette Murphy, like we're starting to see all these ways in which the cortex is being stimulated through the chiropractic adjustment, how that has reciprocal effects on efferent outputs that are going out to the body. It's all the stuff that Didi and BJ had talked about without even having the technology or understanding to be able to confirm it. So, you know, I'm looking at it thinking we as a profession, science is never settled. And I think that one of the things that we see now, and I mean this current situation and pandemic that we're in, to be closed-minded and to become so bipartisan that you turn yourself off to the understanding of science is not science, right? They call it scientism, where you've kind of made a dogmatic approach to understanding something. Here's what we understand. A better functioning nervous system optimizes human health and potential, human health and performance. And through the chiropractic adjustment, we know and understand that if we can provide input to the central nervous system that allows that individual to adapt and function at a higher level, the individual is better for it, regardless of what condition that they have. And I think that as a profession, if we can truly own that and understand it, we will be the only profession that can deliver that type of care and offer humanity. And again, I go back into I think I mentioned this last time, is like when we start to dive into other, disease and condition treatments, as some of the other therapies do, we don't become any different than anybody else. And we don't have a uniqueness within the market for the community that we serve. So, chiropractic right now has the ability to make a decision to move forward with the understanding of what our uniqueness is. And I think if we can bring that to the market and support that by financially supporting our research departments that are looking into how this happens and how we can understand dyskinesia and dysautonomia and disafferentation and just helping our profession to understand all of these concepts is going to help overall, is just going to help our communities in a profound way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just digging into that document just a little bit more, and, you know, they were stating that subluxation, I've heard this before, that it's actually been used, I think, all the way in the 1600s by Hippocrates, the term subluxation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just to throw out a term, our lexicon, because of maybe, you know, going back to it, maybe some dogmatic views that one might have from not even being open to learning more about it, it's sort of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and there's a lot to it that we can just explore more, and get a good grasp on a scientific and research level when it comes to it.
Yeah, no, I think, like, you know, whenever I've talked to practice members and I teach them, right, like, and just like you do, just like most of us do, mm-hmm. It's a new word, it's different. Sometimes new words can be scary, and even when I've spoken with medical doctors, neurosurgeons, OBGYNs, like when you explain chiropractic to them and you explain what we call the vertebral subluxation complex, they get and they understand it. And then you've got an operational definition that you can utilize that allows you to be able to have a conversation as you move forward that you can build on. It's no wonder that many of us get referrals from medical doctors, from OBGYNs, from midwives, from a number of different, I get a number of referrals actually from psychologists. And it's not because I'm trying to treat mental health disorders, but they just understand the intricacy between mental health and physical expression and the physical pains and discomforts and just malaise and fatigue that comes with, you know, depression or anxiety or other things. And so when we start to help some of these folks just in that realm, in just allowing their bodies to be clear and functioning well, in conjunction, collaboratively with other healthcare practitioners, we start to have a real more magnified effect on the people that we serve.
Mm. I'm with you. And, God, I lost my train of thought, but it's I wanted to bring it to this this you lead it to this question, Dr. Hazel, is, you know, moving forward, what can practitioners, chiropractors currently in practice right now, what can they do to start supporting this this message? Or, and maybe, you know, because a lot of my listeners are new grads and students, a lot of them are just getting into this sort of, for lack of a better term, battle, if you will, between the schools of thought. And a lot of them are trying to figure out and understand chiropractic a little bit more in depth. I just had someone at CMCC, you know, she reached out to me and she listened to Dr. Brian Ferguson's episode. And she's like, I've never been taught this in school. And I implored her to reach out to Dr. Brian. I don't know if she did, but, you know, they don't hear that message. And it's sad because, you know, that's sort of been their centralized message at that school. And it's kind of crazy to see that it takes an outsider to teach and educate what, you know, what our founders wanted chiropractic to be. So what can these students, what can these new grads do to help, you know, help chiropractic, and what's our way forward?
I'm going to back up a step because one of the words that I caught early on in your opening statement there was the battle that we're in. And I would say that, you know, we got to stop looking at it as a battle and as a challenge. And quite rightly, I mean, someone could argue that, yes, we are in a situation here where we need to press back. I think that dialogue begins when both parties are willing to communicate respectfully and with integrity so that we can allow for an open dialogue. Right. I too have spoken to the students at CMCC, and if I could share the emails that people sent to me afterwards privately, thanking me for professionally explaining how chiropractic can help an individual in a way that they have never been taught, or the excitement that led them to go to school was the same messaging that I had shared, but yet it had been taken away from them through the school process to the point where they were confused and unsure whether this was the right decision or not. And to me, that's devastating. So I think that we have to release our biases. We have to release our dogmas. We have to understand where those two sides are communicating in a way, and focusing on what makes us more the same than what makes us different. And I think from there, we can start to develop a curriculum and an understanding and a development of a chiropractic profession that is only going to put the focus into the hands of the public, right? Or on the public. You know, I think of it, this should be collaborative. Healthcare should be collaborative. It should not be competitive, ever. We should not have a squabble with a physical therapist who wants to see one of our mutual patients or clients or practice members and doesn't want them to see chiropractic at the same time. I see that as being a conflict because it's not collaborative in the minds of what is best for the person in front of us on our table. And it makes it more about the individual than it does about the person that we're both taking care of. And so I would echo that same thing, is that if we start to look at some of our institutions who are closed off and who would dismiss any kind of development of our history and bringing that forward, I think it only punishes the communities that we serve. So I think dialogue has to begin. I think that focusing again on more of what makes us the same than different. And I think that, you know, for students that are listening, gosh, get connected with a chiropractor that is going to infuse some energy into you. You know, that was one of the comments that I got from some of the emails that I had, is like, you know what, it's just great to see and to hear from somebody that's been in practice as long as you have. I'm like, oh gosh, is it that long, really? But somebody that's still passionate about what they do, right? And my goodness, it is. When you come away from an adjusting day and you've got lots of kids in the office and the energy's high and you're changing people's lives, that leaves you empowered to want to go back and do it the next day. It doesn't make you want to trudge through and have to file insurance papers and have to do all sorts of other things that kind of suck the juice out of life. So for those students, like, get connected, get mentored, get connected with the AFC, get connected with the CNAC, and start to get connected with some of the people that are in these organizations. They will absolutely reach out and help you, to guide you, to mentor you, to give you, you know, I offered the folks in my call, the Zoom call, I'm like, you guys are welcome to anything in my office. You need intake forms, you need progress forms, you need this, whatever. Reach out to me. I'm happy. I'm an open book. I want you to be successful, because the only way this profession is going to grow is when it has more people that are being wildly successful and the profession is held in a higher regard from an esteem standpoint, because we're seeing so many people helping so many people in such a big way. So, you know, I think that our profession can only grow when we grow ourselves, and when we let go of some of the biases and dogmas that we've held onto for so long, and look at it from a mature, you know, scientific construct that welcomes and recognizes our history, but pulls it forward with us as we all move together.
Dr. Hazel, I think that's a good place to stop, but powerful. And I do want to thank you again, man, for all that you're doing, all that you've done. Maybe I can help you guys out. If anyone wants to reach out, you know, there's some CMC students, new grads that have reached out to me. How can they get involved with you, or how can they, you know, get their feet wet as they embark on this new journey of theirs? So how can they contact you, pretty much?
Well, I appreciate that. So, like, we actually gift students a membership in the AFC for the entire duration of their school. So if anyone wants to reach out to us, by all means, they can, to info@allianceforchiropractic.com, and just let us know, I'm a student, I'd really like to take advantage of a free membership. And with that gets you access to a lot of our monthly webinars that we do, where we interview different people from all around the profession, and we talk about these kinds of things. What makes us unique? What makes us fantastic? How do we improve ourselves personally, professionally? How do we carry this torch forward and make sure that it's burning brightly? So that's one way that they can connect to us, obviously through our Facebook and our social media pages. If there's someone who and wants a shadow, or just reach out to us through the email, we'll be happy to help you find someone that you can speak with and you can shadow and mentor with, and just interview. As one of the other things I told students is, go to as many different offices as you possibly can, all along that spectrum. Don't close your minds off because someone has told you to. That's dogmatic. You have to do the work. You have to do the heavy lifting, and you have to understand what makes someone different. Because then when you've got another colleague that's down the road, you can identify and understand them better, rather than it doesn't serve the public in any way if you're going to speak ill of another professional or another way in which somebody else is doing something different than you are. Mm-hmm. So you're better to understand, you're better to learn. Don't close your mind off. I haven't closed my mind off. I still want to continue to learn and understand. I want to be better than I was last year. So I would encourage every student to be a student for life. Don't stop.
Agreed. And Dr. Hazelman, thank you so much for that. That's just to clarify, is that for any student in any Cairo college?
Absolutely. Yep. So any of you that are in the US or Australia or New Zealand or the UK, by all means, just reach out to us and we'll be happy to take care of that. Welcome you, and you can get to know us, get a sense of what we're all about. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that anybody may have too. So
beautiful. Well, Dr. Hazel, I want to thank you again, man, for joining me, and I appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for all you're doing, Richard. This podcast has been instrumental. It gets me through my workouts. It helps to sharpen my axe. I love learning from all the guests that you've had on here, and I'm truly honored to be a guest.
Thank you for listening to the Cairo Inspired Podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please take some time to rate and review this on iTunes or wherever you're listening. If you know a friend or colleague who you think may get value from this episode or podcast, please feel free to share this with them. My goal is to always provide you with value and to leave you inspired. I believe that inspiration is all around us, but more importantly, first comes from within us. We are all a source of inspiration for others and also for ourselves. If you have any suggestions or know anyone who would be a great guest, please feel free to email me or connect with me at www.drletta.com. I look forward to connecting with you. So until next time, this is Dr. Rich. Peace out.